the Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David James here with you. Willie Donick expected to join us later in the program.
Yes, he will. You know what? I want to start something new.
Okay.
You know, that we, I think we should do.
Sure.
And hopefully it catches on.
Okay.
That we should do at the beginning of each show.
I'm on pins and needles.
One, quickly, Hiller, heating and plumbing company came to my house today. Great. I love the guy. I love the guys. I love the company. Great. Because they've been out a few times, and they, you know, they usually come in there prompt. So they came this morning. That's why I was kind of the dilemma, man. Am I coming in? Am I going to work at home? Or am I going to come in the studio? And I finally was like, just forget it. I come to the studio. So the guy comes to the door. Hey, Mr. Mason, how are you doing? Here, Tyler, work on your thing, work on your air conditioner unit. I was like, okay. I said, so, because I know kind of what he needs to do because it keeps cutting off for me. I said, so, and this was like at 9 o'clock. I said, so, Tyler, how long will this take? And I'm thinking maybe an hour and a half, Adam, at best. And I'm like, okay, I can leave at 10:30, and I still make the show, give myself at least, you know, 10 minutes, you know, kind of relax. Tyler said, well, Mr. Mason, this is going to take a minute. I said, oh, how long? He said, well, 6 hours. I said, what? He said, 6 hours? And he started explaining. I was like, oh, I said, okay. All right, I'll make sure that someone's at the house when I leave. So if you have any questions or anything else, you can talk to them. So McCall's going to come down. She's going to stay at the house while I'm here at work. But the second thing, I think at the beginning of the show, each and every day, I think, and we need to remind ourselves of this, I think we need to, you know, tell our listeners what we're thankful for, whether it's them, whether it's David, whether it's you, Adam, Willie, you know, Emily back there, she's working. What are we thankful for? It could just be one thing. It could be a couple of things. I just think that gets the show off on a good note, you know, because it kind of, okay, what am I thankful for? I am thankful that I work with such wonderful people. That's what I'm thankful for, that we care about one another and we check up on one another. That's what I appreciate that. That's what I'm thankful for.
Today, I am thankful for the antibiotics that will hopefully make my son's ear infection go away so he can finally go back to school.
Infection.
It was an ear infection.
See?
Or is an ear infection.
I'm a parent. I parent kids that age.
You know.
Arlo's age, yeah. I even told him that he might have to get tubes.
Kid needs to go back to school.
Arlo, you need to go back to school.
But it's time to go back to school.
Time to go back to school.
Get your little butt back to school.
David, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that God woke me up today.
Praise
God.
Emily, you back there. You're going to be a part of this too. What are you thankful for? Come on, get on the mic.
She's a little shy.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's just anything that you're thankful for today.
She said the vending machine right now.
There we go. That's it. Hey, she's thankful for that now because she probably didn't eat breakfast, so that's kind of like her breakfast a little bit.
The vending machine was replenished last night.
It was, I saw when they were replenishing. Look at her. She jumped up and she started clapping.
What's funny is when you walk into the break room and the vending machine is near empty and you see what's left. Clearly this health food thing, nobody wants it.
We want to be healthy, but when they're staring us in the face, it's like, nope.
The candy bars are out. The chips are out.
All the good stuff.
But those dried cranberries are still available. Nobody wants that.
And it's supposedly healthy.
Supposedly.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the key. That's the key.
Exactly.
Term. So tonight, we could crown the Stanley Cup champion. It could be the Florida Panthers for the second year in a row. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup final tonight at 7. Stuart Skinner starting for the Edmonton Oilers in Game 6. We'll see how that goes. The NBA Finals last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder are one win away from an NBA title as they defeat the Indiana Pacers. And there's one thing that I learned yesterday about the NBA. They are easily persuaded by their fans. They succumb to peer pressure again.
In what way?
Well, yesterday I saw on X, Shams Charania of ESPN tweeted that for the first time since 2013, ABC will air, I guess, I don't know if it was ABC who did it the last time, but it was for the first time since 2013, they will air the introductions of the starting lineups in the NBA Finals. I guess fans were complaining about that, that they didn't air the starting lineups. And even,
because nobody knows these players on these two teams.
As front office sports writes, off the court, ratings have dipped, as we've discussed, and fans have bemoaned a lack of pageantry. The move to air the intros and add a digitally imposed Larry O'Brien trophy logo to the court shows that the league is plugged into the online discourse about its product. That's one way to put it. Again, I say succumbing to peer pressure. As front office sports notes, the trophy logo was removed from finals courts after 2009, and fans have complained every year since. Now, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, mentioned that the logos were slippery. And players were complaining about that. So they added them virtually, and it did not look good. So this is one thing I've learned about the NBA, and specifically NBA fans. I feel that NBA fans of the four major sports in our country, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL, NBA fans are the most stuck in the past. And what I mean by that is NBA fans are the ones who yearn for the NBA of yesteryear. Nothing is as good now as it used to be. Think about this. The NBA is going back to NBC, right? They're bringing back the iconic theme song, Round Ball Rock. And not only that, the announcer, whose name is escaping me right now, unfortunately, who would announce, it's the NBA on NBC. He's been dead for several years. They are going to use an AI-generated version of his voice with the family's blessing when the NBA returns to NBC. And don't get me wrong, I love Round Ball Rock. Who doesn't love that, right? But I feel that NBA fans, more than any other sport, major North American professional sport, they love how it used to be versus how it is now.
I think that's mainly older NBA fans.
Okay.
Because I know as I'm a big NBA fan, I like the product now. I do wish that they would have the finals logo on for the NBA Finals. I do agree with that. I think that's fair. But I think a lot of that is more older players because you see, or older fans, because you see a lot of them complain about it's not like the 90s. Like you look at Joe Rexroth, me and Joe Rexroth talk about that a little bit, like where everyone would complain that the 90s was so much better and all that stuff. And so you would see more older fans who are like in their late 30s now and 40s complain about how it's not as physical anymore. And I think that's what you mainly see is the older fans, not necessarily the younger ones or a lot of different fans.
So the Larry O'Brien trophy on the court thing, like that is not something I would ever possibly care about.
No.
Obviously, I'm more tuned into what the NHL is doing because hockey is my favorite sport. I've covered the sport for a long time. There used to be, inside each team's zone, the logo would say Stanley Cup Final. There would be a little picture of the Stanley Cup and then the words Stanley Cup Final. As far as I know, that no longer exists because the NHL is selling ad space. And sometimes fans will complain about, man, I really wish the Stanley Cup Final logo was on the ice right now. But I haven't heard any of that during this series. So it feels to me like complaining about how the Larry O'Brien Trophy logo is not on the court, it seems silly to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell all of you who don't think it's silly to complain about it that you're silly for complaining about it, but it seems silly to me. So I just feel that NBA fans, they love the league of the past. They want it to be like the past, but it's not the past. That's just this vibe I get. I have no statistical measure to back this up, mm-hmm. but maybe baseball is this way. Now, baseball is a blind spot to me. I'm not a huge baseball fan, so maybe baseball fans are like this. But I feel like hockey fans, mm-hmm. for example, football fans, I feel like they don't complain about this stuff as much as NBA fans do.
I think from a football standpoint, I think fans are more sort of they're more accepting in regards to rule change. They may fuss about it for a minute, but then they adapt. That's what has kept the NFL as the top sport. Because not only has and listen, the NFL has its faults, and I talk about it a lot. I think the NFL is more reactive than proactive. But one thing that they have going for them is that their fan base changes with them. Like the fan base, they're not sitting back like, I wish the game was like it was, you know, 15 years ago. Why? They're not saying that because there's so much more scoring. There's so many more records being broken. There's so many more highlight plays that you can watch now and see just about every week that you wasn't getting those back in, you know, the 80s, at least not to this magnitude, in a sense. So I think football fans look at it as our product has gotten better all around. Yeah, we may fuss about the quarterback not being able to be hit at all, but it just depends on which fan base's quarterback got hit. You know, it's if my quarterback got hit late, it's a penalty. We need to protect the quarterbacks. But if I hit him late and I get a penalty, why are they doing this to the quarterbacks? The quarterback. But NFL fans, eventually, they adapt and they just go along with the sport. Basketball fans, it's going to be this ongoing debate. And you know why it is this? Because no one will ever supersede Michael Jordan. That's why it will always be, I love back in the day when they were playing. Why? Because of Michael Jordan, really. But then you got Bird, you got Magic, you got guys like that. But really, it's one guy. And they don't see LeBron as – they don't see LeBron like they saw Jordan. So they always refer back to, man, I wish they would go back to the days of Michael Jordan and how physical the game was and this and that. When in actuality, the game is physical now.
Again – talking about hockey fans, for example, mm-hmm. you don't hear any hockey fans saying, man, I long for the days of the dead puck era, which was in the mid-90s to mid-2000s, pre-salary
cap. Where you ain't getting no scoring.
Right, where there wasn't a lot of goal scoring, a greater emphasis on defensive play. Mm-hmm. That wasn't exciting. I mean, I love hockey. I still watched it. But the game today is in a much better place.
Exactly.
And I do think that, to your point, Derek, and we did talk about this recently, that there isn't that quote-unquote face of the NBA mm-hmm. or those faces of the NBA. When you could just say one name, Michael, Kobe, Magic, Larry. There really isn't that mm-hmm. player or players right now in the NBA. So when I saw this yesterday, how so many people were excited about the NBA airing the starting lineups for the NBA Finals, I said, great. Okay. Like, good for them, I guess. Uh-huh. But I just think that the NBA and the NBA's fans, more so than any other major North American professional sport, they love back in the day mm-hmm. more than football fans, more than hockey fans, more than baseball fans. Again, I do have some blind spots. So if I'm missing something, you can call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Devin and Dixon says, Adam clearly doesn't know NASCAR fans. There is no other fan base more stuck in the past than NASCAR fans. Ask Chase.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I will ask Chase. But, yeah, I can't say I watch a whole lot of NASCAR. Yeah. I was having this conversation with David James a couple of weeks ago. I don't understand how NASCAR fans choose which driver to root for.
Uh-huh.
When I was a kid, I rooted for – if I was picking – I didn't watch a lot of NASCAR. But I would pick the driver who had the coolest sponsor.
Uh-huh.
So it's like Jeff Gordon, his main sponsor is DuPont. I don't care about paint, but that guy has an Oreo on his truck. I love Oreos.
He got McDonald's? He got the Arches?
Yes.
All right, that's my guy.
Right. Like Ricky Rudd, who was a popular and successful NASCAR driver, mm-hmm. he was from the area I grew up. And I believe his main sponsor at one point was Tide laundry detergent. I was like, I don't care. I don't wash my clothes. Nevertheless, maybe my mom likes him because she does all the laundry. Even though I am now the laundress of our house, I do my laundry, my wife's laundry, my kids' laundry. Anyway, I just think that, and look, I love vintage NBA mm-hmm. too, especially the look, right? The jerseys. You know, I love the stuff that you can buy that looks like the old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that NBA fans, they yearn for yesteryear more than any other.
Do you think that NBA, the new NBA fan, let's say anybody that was born after 85, 85, 90, let's say 90. Do you think the new NBA fan, because if you look at baseball, I think even the new baseball fan appreciate the older players and appreciate the history of baseball. I think true hockey players, like fans, the base, they truly care about like the old school. It's not like they want to go back, but they appreciate the history. I think football fans are the same way. They appreciate the history. Do my younger fans, and it could be across the board. It could be in football. I don't know. But do the younger fan appreciate like the history of the NBA?
To me.
Because if they do, they would understand like, hey, listen, our game is great, you know, and it's because of the older guys that made it great that we are able to sustain it and make it better. I don't – because if you ask a guy or a girl in their 30s, who is this player, they'll look at you like who is Bernard King? They'll look at you like, what? Bernard who? Is he Ken the Burger King? I don't know. He played for the Knicks, okay? He was one of the best players ever. Probably the best Knick ever, or at least one of a top three
has
or four.
To be. Has to the best Knick ever.
But do the fan base, like the newer fan base, just appreciate, you know, the NBA? And I'm talking about the history of the NBA.
I think there's a small group that does that. But I think a lot of the times what they see is they see a lot of older NBA fans mm-hmm. you know, or even older NBA players complain about the game, and they complain about saying all these guys are soft. Mm-hmm. I think when they see that, they're like, well, look back at what your time was. You know, you guys didn't have the three-point line. Y'all are only good guys on your team were like there was only a couple of good guys on your team. Like everyone, they would say everyone in the NBA right now mm-hmm. could dominate back in the day. And I think it's a little bit of back and forth between both fan bases. I think both fans, our older and younger fans, need to like be more appreciative of what the game is. But also, I think a lot of it is just the younger fans don't understand how good Kareem was, how good Wilt was, how good Bill Russell was.
Yeah, they may be basketball fans. They may have the most inner fighting amongst any
sports. For sure.
Like, the old versus the new. I don't see it in football. I don't see it in basketball. I mean, baseball. I don't see it in hockey, where the fan bases are going at one another and the players are going at one another.
I also think it's just because how much ESPN talks about the NBA.
Yeah.
I think just because like it's so well-rounded in the NBA, in ESPN realm, where we see it every day, you have an opinion about the NBA because of that.
One texter says, I highly disagree with you, Adam. I feel the NBA has faces. Stephen Curry and LeBron James are international superstars. That is true, but they're getting older.
Yeah, they're fading out.
Right. They were the faces of the NBA. There, however, is a new generation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think those players, who those players are going to be, has really emerged. But let's continue this conversation because we have a lot of reactions. 615-737-1025. Again, the NBA, in my opinion, succumbs to peer pressure. Fans wanted them to play the starting lineups before the game started on ABC. NBA says, sure thing. Logo on the court, we will put it on there virtually. I just think that NBA fans, more than other fans of major professional sports in our country, they love the nostalgia. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is Body Rock Plank Lunge Twist and Push. Your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card now with thegamenashville.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's four Nashville locations while supplies last.
Song that we like to call Round Ball Rock. Now, it started as one of David's poems here, but then it just grew into something bigger than both of us could ever imagine. It's me on keys and Dave singing.
Can you believe this is our job? All right, fire away.
All right, ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
All right, 2, 3, 4.
Ba 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 basketball. Gimme, gimme, gimme the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Ba 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 basketball. Gimme, gimme, gimme the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Ba 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 basketball. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
There's some round ball rock for you.
Oh yeah.
That was from an old SNL skit when Tim Robbins, who people know from the Netflix show, I Think You Should Leave. I think that's what it's called. He was on SNL for, I think, like 1 year. And that was one of my favorite sketches from that. Just round ball rock. People love round ball rock. I absolutely get that. And the reason I bring this up is, as I said in the previous segment, for the second time during the NBA Finals, the NBA bowed to pressure from fans. First, it was the logo on the court. And last night, it was airing the starting lineups before the game between the Pacers and Thunder. And once again, I think that NBA fans, when I say stuck in the past, what I mean is they long for the NBA of their youth. And I don't get the sense that other sports fans have the same issue. Again, the sport that I am most tuned into when it comes to this stuff is hockey. And I don't feel that it exists in hockey. Maybe it exists in baseball. I don't think it exists in football. So one point that's interesting that David brought up during the break about the idea about the face of the NBA. The NBA has not had an American-born player win MVP in 7 years. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who won it this year, is Canadian. Jokic won it a couple of times. He's Serbian. Joel Embiid won it. He's Cameroonian. Giannis won it a few times. He's Greek. I'm wondering if that plays into it. We know that the NBA is an international sport now. It's beloved all over the world. I'm wondering about if, because there's not, you know, there's not Kobe, Michael, LeBron is getting older. I'm wondering if the fact that the game has taken on that international flavor and international players have dominated the MVP award for the past several years, I'm wondering if that plays into it as well.
Well, it does, because the NBA has changed the All-Star rules now. It's going to be the American, you know, it's going to be American versus the world, some in some form or fashion. I think that's going to be the name of it. But it's going to be the U.S.-born players versus those that are born outside of the U.S. So the NBA sees it, and they understands it. They understand it. And, you know, what made it even more evident is when these other countries started to get closer and closer when we played them in the Olympics. It didn't become a surefire the NBA is going to win.
2004,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not anymore. the same players that are superstars in your league are superstars in their country, and they're going to help, you know, their country defeat you, because these guys are used to you. They know you. So to me, the NBA, because they don't, it's almost like the NBA is the big, I mean, the American-born players are the big brother. And if you had a big family, you know what I'm talking about. As you start to have more children, the big brother seems to become sort of like the forgotten person, or the big sister, the forgotten person, the eldest sibling. Why? Because you're paying more attention to the younger ones now. And now the older ones kind of feel like, what's going on over here? You're not showing me enough attention. That's the NBA. The NBA is starting to show more attention to the foreign-born players than they are to the players. Why? Because they see the play. They see the superstars that they have in their own league. And if you, outside of, like you said, outside of LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and they are aging out, everyone else, the next like three or four, are foreign-born players. Whether it be Canada, Serbia, Cameroon, they are players from other countries. The NBA sees it, and I think the fan base sees it. The fan base wants it back to where it was Michael, Magic, Bird, you know, these elite American-born players dominating. And right now, that's just not the case.
I would like to issue a correction. I confused Tim Robinson, the comedian, with Tim Robbins, the actor.
Yeah, okay.
My bad. My bad. For you fans of Shawshank Redemption. So one texter says, Josiah from Clarksville, I hate the argument the older fans have that no current player, it seems, in any sport will ever be as good as the greats of the past. It's as if they refuse to see how great some of the current players are. And this is something that we as sports fans, we love to do. If you took Michael Jordan in his prime and you plopped him into today's NBA, how good would he be? Right? And it's an interesting question. I do think that Michael Jordan would be an outlier. I think that Michael Jordan was such an amazing basketball player that he would still be an amazing basketball player in today's NBA. But most NBA players, the ones that you love the most, Joe Rexroad always brings up his beloved Bad Boy Pistons. Mm-hmm. You know the Bad Boy Pistons. Yep. Do you think that most of those players would succeed in today's NBA?
Let me see. Isaiah, Joe Dumars, Dennis Rodman would. John Sally would be a role player as he was for the Pistons. I think those four guys would succeed in today's NBA. Outside of those four guys, and we're talking about the Bad Boy Pistons, Rick Mahorn. We're not talking about the second iteration of the Bad Boys with Chauncey Billups and those guys.
Rasheed Wallace. Ben Wallace.
Exactly. We're not talking about that iteration of
the
Bad Boys.
But Bill Laimbeer.
Bill could have played in today's NBA. You know why?
You think so?
For this reason. Because Bill is sort of a Jokic-type player. He can't jump, don't run fast, but he got a hell of – Bill Laimbeer was one of the first centers shooting three-pointers. He was one of the first centers shooting three-pointers. Go watch Bill Laimbeer. Watch him. He's not a household name if outside of the city of Detroit or the state of Michigan. But watch Bill Laimbeer. His game would apply to today's game. Why? Because bigs are shooting three-pointers. And that's what Bill Laimbeer did. He shot three-pointers. He didn't have a low post game. He played defense, really good defense. He hacked the hell out of you. And he got a few rebounds. But he was a hell of a shooter from outside. He was a good shooter for a big. I think Bill was about 6'10", 6'11". But he was excellent. And no big guys were shooting from the three-point line as much.
I also think that ESPN doesn't help itself when it comes to bringing in those casual fans. And I don't watch a lot of NBA pregame, but looking at the NBA pregame show on ESPN, it basically feels like an extra episode of First Take. How can we get Stephen A. Smith mad and yelling about something? The one thing that to be fair to those of you who yearn for the NBA of old, the NBA on NBC, and I felt like did, if I recall correctly, they did a great job of letting you get to know these players. Turn on any NFL pregame show. What do NFL pregame shows do best other than having 15 people on set laughing at their terrible jokes? It's fluff. It's fluff. You'll get an 8 to 10 minute story about a top player and his story, where he grew up, how he came to be the player he is, how important his family is to him, all of those things. And the one thing that I learned as a sports writer is fans love when you humanize athletes.
Yes.
Let the fans know who this player is. Let's look at Tyrese Halliburton, for example. Tyrese Halliburton has had an amazing NBA playoffs, has been hitting clutch shot after clutch shot after clutch shot.
Not last night.
No. But what do we know about Tyrese Halliburton? We don't know a lot about Tyrese Halliburton. I remember reading, I believe it was Ramona Shelburne on ESPN, wrote a story recently about the friendship between Tyrese Halliburton and Caitlin Clark, because Caitlin Clark also plays in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, no pun intended, a layup for ESPN for a pregame story. Here you have Tyrese Halliburton, who's been the breakout star of the NBA playoffs. You have Caitlin Clark, who, as Jared talked about yesterday, when Caitlin Clark was out with injury, NBA WNBA ratings plummeted. Now she's back. They're back up. Talk about an easy story to get fans invested. Tyrese Halliburton, Caitlin Clark. And humanizing those players, giving fans a reason to care about them other than the fact that they're playing well. That's how you sell the game. I think most pregame shows do a good job of this. I don't think ESPN has done a great job of this, and they have people on staff who can do this. So we've talked about how this is a small market NBA Finals. Indianapolis and Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of great players on both of these teams, but none of them are household names, right? Sell them to us. Tell the casual fan who is tuning into the NBA for the first time why I should care about these guys, other than the fact that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won the MVP award. How many casual fans know that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is Canadian? Probably not very many. Mm. Like, it's about selling that. I think that would help. Let's go to Pat on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Pat, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the era and about how you know, certain people are – they talk about, well, this guy was better, and how that would translate to the game today. Well, to me, that's always been kind of a dumb thing, because at the time, in the era, that's a great ball player. And, you know, like today's player that's coming through the system, they're a lot better educated in the game because of you know, guys like you and because of ESPN. But also, they're coming through a travel system that was not in place when, like, the Michael Jordans and those guys were coming up. So you got kids coming out of high school now that are as good as college players were 20, 25 years ago. So, you know, I think that, and you're talking about certain great players, I think those guys shined in an era where now you have tons of great players coming out of and being dumped in the market. So they're not as definable maybe as they were back in the day when you had the Jordans and the guys like that. So I'd like for you guys to comment on that.
Thank you for the call, Pat.
I look at and this is why, and you're right, the caller's right, in regards to, you know, these players are so much more advanced at a younger age than they were, you know, hell, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, let alone 20 and 30 years ago. So when you look at them, it's like they have, you know, there are more advantages for that athlete out there. Now, it's going to cost you. I understand that. But there's more things that, like, if I want to become a better jump shooter. There are like 100 things that they can, you know, that we can do, drills that we can do to make me a better jump shotter or a better free throw shooter or a better ball handler. They weren't thinking like that. Not everybody was thinking like that, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But this is why I say that, listen, whether you want to take the guys in this era and plop them, you know, 30 years ago, or take the guys 30 years ago and plop them in this era, this is the one thing that I think people are forgetting. If you're just saying, I'm just taking that player and he's going to skip the whole two or three generations of developing and everything else, if I plop them in today's game, it's going to be hard for them to adjust. Absolutely it will. Even Michael Jordan, it would take them hard. Now, Magic and his teams, they may be able to adjust because they were running gun anyway. They were upstream and shooting and all this other stuff anyway. But when we say those guys in the 80s, they couldn't play or be, well, yeah, because you skipped like three generations of development and then plopped them in there and said, well, now you don't have the advantage that they have, but you got to play them in a game. Well, who's going to win? They are. But I guarantee you, if I take Bird, Magic, Jordan, Barkley, Isaiah, any other Akeem Olajuwon, if you allow them to go through the same system that the LeBrons and everybody else went through, I guarantee you, yeah, they would be able to dominate in today's game because they have the same advantages that you have. That's just like the NFL. If I had all of the advantages that these guys have now, then yes, I would be able to, hell, I could play in this era no matter what, but I would be way more advanced just because of the medicine and you know, the sports medicine and all this other stuff that they really pay, the analytics, all that stuff that they pay attention to now. So I would be able to play in today's game just like the basketball players in the 80s would be able to play right now.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the NBA and nostalgia. Again, I just feel that NBA fans, more than NFL fans, more than Major League Baseball fans, more than NHL fans, they want the product they used to watch versus the product that they're now watching. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on that. But coming up next, we continue our best case, worst case Titans edition as we started yesterday with Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. We will continue that today, starting with Tony Pollard. And we'll get to Tony Pollard coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
With Pollard today, as you reflected on his first year here, anything you want to change with him as far as workload and as far as how many carries he has, does that pretty much depend on his health or other factors?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's battling the second half of the year quite a bit, but I think in a perfect world, it's a healthier division of labor. I think he ended up carrying the ball a lot. He was our most productive running back, you know, and then Tajay had some injuries early too. So he ended up playing a lot early. And then Tajay sort of came on as the year went on further. So I like really both of those players a lot. I think we can do a better job of managing that load so they both play a little more evenly and allows us to maybe have a spot for a third back between Julius and Kalel, some heavier style back and runner. So hopefully that division of labor gets a little more evenly distributed so he doesn't have to take the brunt of it. And we can get, 17 games out of all those guys at their best.
That was Brian Callahan last month, I believe, talking about Tony Pollard and the division of labor in the backfield for the Tennessee Titans. We continue our best case and worst case for the Tennessee Titans this season. We'll do it all week. Yesterday, we started with Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons. Each day, we're going to do an offensive player or position group and a defensive player or position group. So today, we're going to start with Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard is coming off of his third consecutive 1,000-yard season. But as Derek and I have discussed recently, Tony Pollard was by far the bell cow for the Tennessee Titans. 260 carries last season, the eighth most in the NFL among running backs, I believe all positions when you include running quarterbacks, but eighth most in the NFL last season, 260 carries. And despite being in the top 10 in carries, I would say that he wasn't incredibly efficient. There is a fancy stat that the NFL tracks called success rate. And success rate measures the percentage of carries that result in positive expected points added, indicating the ability to keep the offense on schedule. Last year, Tony Pollard had a success rate of 35%, which was the worst of his NFL career, and ranked 33rd out of 41 qualified running backs. Now, to be fair, Tony Pollard was running behind a patchwork offensive line. Mm-hmm. This was amazing to me, Derek. Nearly 85% of Tony Pollard's rushing yards last season came after contact, which is because he was contacted behind the line of scrimmage so much because the offensive linemen in front of him couldn't keep people in front of them. And yeah. I'm wondering what the best case scenario is for Tony Pollard. And to me, as odd as this may sound, but Brian Callahan talked about it in that clip, best case scenario for me is that Tony Pollard's carries go down and he can be more efficient with fewer carries. Looking at last season's numbers, Tony Pollard averaged roughly 16 rushing attempts per game. Tajay Spears, when he was healthy, averaged 7 rushing attempts per game. And we have seen in Tony Pollard's career that he can be an incredibly efficient running back when he's sharing the load in the backfield. That's how he broke out with the Dallas Cowboys. So to me, best case scenario is that Tony Pollard can have a fourth consecutive 1,000-yard season, but he's not carrying the load as much so that in the back half of the season, he isn't laboring through an injury. So to me, honestly, I think the best case scenario for Tony Pollard means that Tajay Spears is better. It may have little to do with Tony Pollard.
Yeah, it may. If you look at Tony Pollard's career and how it has evolved, his best year obviously was 2022 when he had over 1,000 yards, but he averaged 5.2 yards a carry, and he had, I think, 9-10 touchdowns. I think that was over the last 3 years, that was the lowest amount of carries he got. He had 193 carries that year. But he was more productive when you're talking about average yard per carry. The more carries he get, it ends up going down. Now, 2 years ago, it went down to 4 yards per carry with 6 touchdowns. It ticked back up a little bit with the 260 carries. It ticked up to 4.2, but he went down in touchdowns. So the best case scenario for me is 190, maybe 200 carries, because I think he's most effective when he's doing that. But that also means that, you know, other guys have to, you know, come in and step up, whether, you know, you're looking at it and whether it's Tajay Spears having to step up, or, you know, are you looking for Chestnut to possibly step up? Guys like that, or the rookie out of Michigan, I think they're looking at him, a special teams guy, but then two, what is it, Mullins?
Mullins,
his last name. But they hope that, because he was I try not to say too many good things about
Mullings
Michigan.
Mullings with a G.
Yeah, I try not to say too many good things about Michigan players, but he was a physical runner at Michigan, and they're hoping that translates in the NFL. Not only can he be a special teams player, but he can be a guy that can get you those hard yardage between the tackles, but also can catch the ball. Because the problem with Tajay Spears, as we have seen since he's gotten into the NFL, he's always had these little nagging injuries, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field consistently enough to even, you know, get momentum and be able to get a rhythm in the game, let alone the season. So, best case scenario is 190-something, 200. But those guys behind him, Tajay Spears and Mullins, and maybe even Julius Chestnut, those guys can hold their own. And the running game still be an effective running game when Pollard's not in the game.
I'm looking at the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And what makes the Lions special is they have a two-headed monster in the backfield with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Derek or listeners, I don't think there is a team in the NFL that has such a two-headed monster of running backs in the NFL. We talked about this recently, Derek. We talked about Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
And Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, running quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But in terms of running backs, last year, Jahmyr Gibbs averaged 14.7 rushing attempts per game. David Montgomery, 13.2. Like, I'm not asking for basically an even split with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, but I would like to see that number. I would like to see that number be closer. Again, Tony Pollard, 16.3 rushing attempts per game last season. Tajay Spears, 7.0. I would like to see it be Tony Pollard, 13, Tajay Spears, 10. Mm-hmm. So that would be taking three off of Pollard's plate and putting three more on Spears' plate.
And dispersing it with everybody else.
Yes, that's what I would like to see. That would be my best case scenario, is that Tony Pollard can still be effective because, again, three consecutive 1,000 rushing yard seasons. But I would like to see the Titans do what Brian Callahan was saying recently and dial it back so that he can be at his best as the season progresses. The worst case scenario is that Tajay Spears continues to have all of these nagging injuries and Tony Pollard continues to have to carry the ball upwards of 250 times a year and he gets hurt. Like that to me is the worst case scenario. So we talked about this with Tim Hasselbeck a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The run game is crucial, as you've talked about, for a rookie quarterback. Absolutely crucial. And I think that the better Tony Pollard can be throughout the season, the better it is for Cam Ward. You don't want to run Tony Pollard into the ground so that he's banged up, because quite frankly, you haven't been able to count on Tajay Spears right now. So best case scenario for me is that it actually has less to do with Pollard and more to do with Spears.
Worst case scenario for me, and this may lead into another conversation for tomorrow or the next day when you continue to give us more players.
Yes.
Worst case scenario is the offensive line isn't any better than they were last year. And that because of that, Tony Pollard has to be the bell cow, and he's getting 250 more carries. And if that is indeed the case, he's not going to last the whole season. I'm just telling you that. He's going to be banged up. You're going to get a declining player much faster. So to me, and then Tajay Spears is just going to be who he has been the last couple of years. He's going to be a guy that's often nicked up. Often, in and out of the lineup, a guy that'll give you short spurts. So to me, that's worst case scenario. So everything really hinges on the offensive line. I think if the offensive line comes around, I don't think we will come close to the worst case scenario, which is obviously Pollard having over 250 carries once again, which is going to open him up to more injuries, and then our offensive line not improving.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your best case scenario and worst case scenario this upcoming season for Tony Pollard. Let us know. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will do our defensive player of the day, that being L'Jarius Sneed. We'll do that coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.